Open them up to the book of Luke. You went there earlier with BC. We're going to go a little further from where that was at. I like it when great minds think alike, BC. Luke chapter 19. He's got the great mind. I just jumped in there. Oh. Trailing behind. 19. Luke chapter 19. It is Palm Sunday. It has a great significance to us, and what we see and why we have this on the calendars that we celebrate it. And for Jesus, it was a time in which he was making his final approach. And he had a destination. It wasn't just to go into the city. We'll look at that this morning as well and understand how that impacts you and I today. Luke chapter 19, the title of the message is Lamb Selection. And that is really what Palm Sunday was about, and we'll see that tonight in the Jewish law of what was there instituted back in the book of Exodus, and the law itself is shown in Leviticus, and I'll give you those sightings, but we want to look here this morning at these scriptures. Luke 19 invites you to stand to honor the reading of God's Word if you're able. We'll begin in verse 28. It says, when he had said this, he went on ahead, going to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethany and to Bethany at the mountain of called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where you enter, and you will find a colt tied, which no one has ever sat on. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you why you are loosing it, thus you shall say to them, because the Lord has need of it. And so those who were sent went their way and found it, just as he had said to them. But as they were loosening the colt, the owners of it said, why are you loosening the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw on their clothes on the colt. And they set Jesus on him. And as he went on his many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near to descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I will tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. You may be seated. I know that was a little bit of a repeat where BC had read earlier today, but again, God's Word is very important that we look and see exactly what it says. Oftentimes on Palm Sunday, they talk about the fact that he comes in and the people cry Hosanna and they lay out their clothes. They have the palm leaves and the branches in which they throw before. And all of this is important. But I want to move forward just a little bit today in looking at this. Is he sees these things, and in verse 41, he says that as he drew near, he saw the city, and he wept over it. And then in 42, he says, because if you had known, even especially in your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Notice also here, as they, in the previous verses in 38, it says that they all begin to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. It wasn't about Jesus, but what he had done. The physical that they were looking at in this world. So let's step back, and I'll come back to this for a moment. In Exodus chapter 12, in verses 3 through 6, is where this is instituted, this lamb selection. And it has about the Passover being instituted. Exodus 12:3 says, he's declaring to Moses here and to Aaron. He says, "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, and a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. You shall make a count for the lamb. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight." So I want you to picture for a minute. In this Passover, they would go and they would look for the lamb that was without blemish, the lamb that was young and was afforded the opportunity now and looked as though it had not had any kids. It had not had anything wrong with it. It was of perfect selection. And this family would choose this lamb. Kind of like when we go to pick out a puppy or something, you know. We look for the pick of the litter that is right for us. May not be the pick that other people will choose, but it's the pick we want that means something to us in some respect. They would take that lamb home and take it to their house. They would feed it, groom it, take care of it, knowing that in about a week they were going to slaughter it. And I say that today, if you think about taking a special puppy or kitten, you don't get it with the idea that, well, I'm going to keep it and feed it and begin to be attached to it as part of my family for a week, and then I'm going to slaughter it. But that's exactly what took place here. And he wanted it without blemish. In John chapter 1 and verse 29, well, sorry, let me back up, since we're already in Exodus, over to Leviticus. This is where the law was in Leviticus 1:3. It says, "If his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of the meeting before the Lord." That's key in where we're looking at today. It says, "A male without blemish, and he shall offer it of his own free will." Not because it's dictated, but his own free will that he offers this sacrifice. We look back in the book of Genesis where Cain and Abel both bring their offering, and the Lord accepts Abel, but he rejects Cain's. Not because it isn't the first, not because it isn't what is given of the first few fruits of their crops and of their animals, but because Abel gave it out of a desire freely. He desired to give it, just as it speaks here in Leviticus, of his own free will. His heart was pure in giving that with love and thanksgiving. Whereas Cain did it out of an obligation. His heart was, he didn't really want to do it, but God had said to do it. He was doing it because he was told to. A whole different aspect of his heart. Then in John chapter 1 and verse 29, John records here as Jesus begins his ministry. We're jumping way back in front of the Palm Sunday of where he would enter In John 1:29, it says, "Then the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" So think about what we've read here. The selection of the Passover, and we know the Passover is symbolically representing exactly what would happen. In Egypt, if you recall, the death angel would come, and all the firstborn would be killed. But those who had the blood over their doorposts, those children would be saved. Throughout all of Egypt, regardless of their nationality, regardless of their sex, regardless of any of that, it was the plague that God put on Pharaoh as the last in order to get his people released. And it says that he also, it mimics what would take place with Jesus in the fact of why we celebrate Easter. The Lamb, as we read here in John, the Lamb of God was freely given. God was not told that he had to give up his son. And in fact, Jesus, of his own free will, freely, as we see in the Garden of Gethsemane, asked for not his will, but for the Father's will to be done. He was without blemish. There was no sin. And God gave his only begotten Son, as John would tell us in 3:16, that whosoever believed on him would have everlasting life and not perish. His sins would be reconciled with our Lord and Creator. And so John recognizes as he's coming. Now back to our original text, how they tie in here in the 19th chapter of Luke. As we read there at the very beginning, Jesus was coming down, and it even says that he told his disciples to go and to get this colt as he went on ahead toward Jerusalem. Jesus was on a mission that day. He was headed, and in fact, as we continue reading, we will find he goes to the temple in Jerusalem. Why? Because he, what we read in Leviticus, of his own free will, is coming to be the sacrifice for you and I. And it says that the people here came, and because of what they had seen, as we read in our text there in verse 38, it says, because of what they had seen, of the wonders and all, came to him. And we see this over and over throughout the miracles which he performed. Excuse me, 37. The miracles which he performed, that people came to see this man Jesus. Yes, some came by faith. Some came to be healed and believe that he could heal them. Others simply came to be able to see the signs and the wonders, the miracles that God would perform. And some were those who looked at it and scoffed and said, "He is, as we know, this is a work of the devil, not of God himself." And he was criticized. And even here as he comes in, it says that the Pharisees called him and says, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples for praising God and giving him the glory." And he answers and says, "If they're quiet, even the stones will shout out." And so we come to that point where he has entered the city. They have laid down the palm branches and all. And a unique thing happened. Jesus stops and looks over the city and begins to weep over them, to cry on what he sees. So why is he crying? This is the triumphal entry. The people are praising him and praising God. Miss Sheila earlier talked about the palm branch. The palm branch history, she is correct, in God's eyes, was to be of peace and love. The palm branches that came had actually, when the Jews were free, not under the control of any nation or in slavery in any way or under the control of even the Romans, had printed their own money. And they put that palm branch on the money. As a symbolism, yes, of love and peace, but of their nationality. Whenever that coin was received in the world trade of that day, weren't able to print that this is a Jewish nation coin, but they recognized that palm branch of being issued by the Jewish people and by its government. If you look back in historical times of when those coins were presented, we're back with David and Solomon and so forth of those kings. And we know that eventually they were conquered and taken back into captivity more than once. And throughout that time period, those coins always were a reminder to the Jewish people that they had a time of freedom. Here, what they are saying as they come in and they begin, because they're looking at his works. And if you remember when he's born, and the people talk about this, and as he goes to that cross, the Roman guards and the people as well, as a week later, will holler to crucify him. And they put up a title above his cross that said, King of the Jews. The Jewish people never recognized him as the Messiah. They still don't today, those who are Orthodox. They're looking for a physical king that will come and rule the world and bring them as the nation of the world. It's been that way all the way through. That day, as they lay the palm branches, we're actually looking many, and it replicates what our world sees today. They were looking for a political savior, one that would give them freedom, one that would take them from out under the rule of the Romans, that they might be their own nation. We know that some centuries later, in 1948, in fact, God would open that door for them to become their own nation. But at this time, when Jesus was there, and we know that he was not only man, but he also was God in the flesh. And God is always, and even today, always has been, always will be, that he is concerned about our hearts. He's a God of the heart. Not what we do out of obligation, but what we give from our heart as he gave his only son from his heart. And Jesus wept over Jerusalem because he realized they weren't looking for the Messiah. They weren't looking for the Son of God. They were looking for an earthly king, a kingdom that would overcome and be a part of this world. Many times Jesus said, my kingdom is not here, but it is in my Father's house in heaven. He tells us that we should gather up the riches of the kingdom, not about this world. And so he comes and he weeps over them. And that's not that I'm so smart and I figured all this out. You read the very next verse. When he's weeping over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day. You see, all the Pharisees, the Sadducees, even the Jewish people, all of the Jewish children were taught the covenant, the five beginning books of our Bible. In fact, by the age of 12, they had them memorized, called the Torah. We have trouble getting our kids to memorize what 1776 was. If y'all have listened to some of the cast, sometimes they ask them, who was the first president? And I've heard everything from Ronald Reagan to Obama, but very few can tell you that it was Washington, right? And yet, you look at those first five books, folks, there's a lot there to memorize. And every Jewish young man, young lady, over the age of 12, could recite it. It's how they were taught. And Jesus says, this your day. You know the scripture of all people on the planet of the earth. You know that God is going to send his perfect lamb. God is going to send his Messiah, your Redeemer. And he says, this your day, of all people you should have known. And he weeps for the fact that they do not recognize. He says that is, if you had known that you, especially in your day, the things that make you for your peace. We can never have peace in our lives, even here on this earth, without having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because there's always something missing in our life, and we try to fill that void with all sorts of things. Relationships, power, money. Some choose drugs, alcohol. anything and everything that brings us pleasure that we think will fill that spot that is missing. Nothing will fill it but Jesus Christ. For we were created to have a relationship. And that's what's missing in that God spot. And he says, if you had known, you have it right here before you. And he finishes, he says, but now, those things, when he says they, those things that you have been taught, that God foretold and the prophets foretold would come and take place, he said, they are hidden from your eyes. Those palm branches, God intended to symbolize peace and love. You're exactly right, Miss Sheila. And he tells us that in Revelation. Because they shall be laid there in peace and in love. But this day on Palm Sunday, those palm branches were about nationalism and political freedom. Things of this world, not of the spiritual world. As we celebrate this time period, we have the fortunate of being in the past where we actually have God's written word to see it for what it is. As you go about your week, this week, the question becomes you or others that are around you, who will they select to be their lamb? For you see, without the lamb, the appropriate lamb, the lamb of God, we'll never find that peace. We never find true love. And for all of eternity, we will be void of our Creator, void of a place called heaven. Jesus would say that no man can come to the Father but by Him, because you and I have to be reconciled. We have a choice. With Palm Sunday, the same as those did back in this day when Jesus walked this face of the earth. We can choose to have a spiritual redeemer, or we too can lay down our palm branches looking for political help. I take not away from those leaders that follow God's statutes and are constantly striving to have peace in this world. But true peace for this world will never come until Jesus Christ reigns in that millennium period where Satan has been bound up and all has been reconciled. That is the gospel that you and I take this week. It is also a reflection for you and I as believers to understand that He was the Lamb, that in one week, just as it was in the day, Jesus was headed to the tabernacle that day to present Himself, following through Leviticus, to present Himself to the Father as that perfect sacrifice, that perfect lamb. And a week later, in fact, He would be sacrificed for you and I. But the glory of what we celebrate next Sunday is that not only did He follow through, not only was He the innocent, that His blood was shed, but the Father above sealed the deal of us being reconciled when He raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the gospel you and I have the opportunity to present to others. Select, even in their day, there's no different than we have for our day. Select your lamb wisely. It's not about a head selection. But it's about a heart selection. A heart selection who gave His life freely that you and I might be redeemed. I invite you to bow your head and close your eyes.